to ask you to repeat. Say, Holy Spirit, I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. And my spirit does perceive that you're speaking to me. Amen. Well, this started during the night. And it came back a couple, three times today. So if you will tighten your seatbelts, we're going to go on a little ride about what happens on the journey sometimes with our Lord can give us an example of what's happening to us. I was really in Isaiah 42, so we'll probably go there afterwards, but I'm not sure. But I heard page 84, and I saw a vision of this particular book, which is crowned with oil. And so George Warnock was Pastor Jay and Wade Taylor's spiritual father. So it goes back basically two generations. But he went all around the world, this man, teaching the teachers, teaching the pastors, etc. And page 84 says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Okay, he's bringing me back why he brought me here. About a week and a half ago, when you come out of sleep and you're in that, I call it twilight zone, you're not asleep and you're not awake. And I saw this gorgeous white stallion, and he was just sitting there. And I said, Lord, what are you up to? He didn't have a saddle. He didn't have a bridle. He didn't have any harness. You know, he was just free. And riding bareback, I've done. But, you know, we're not going to go into the details of that. It's just another subject. So that's when I said, Lord, what are you up to? And he says, okay. Go to page 84 and read carefully what I am about to show you. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son. He said, are you going to personalize it or are you going to leave it up to Mr. Warnock? Well, you have a choice. Amen? I said, okay, I got the message. No, he says, you didn't yet. That thy son may glorify thee. The father is seen as holding the hand of the son or daughter, that the son might have all power to fulfill the covenant of his people. See, the firstborn son came as a covenant, and we need to be seeing that. In reality, he is himself that covenant, our high priest in heaven, shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. There's your courts. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant to the people. Isaiah 42, verses 4, 5, and 6. Now Jesus prays to the Father that he might be glorified in order that he might fulfill the covenant. So in other words, he's doing the same thing that we need to do when we're reaching out, going boldly into the throne of grace, declaring what we are to be, and what we are to do to fulfill what we have been commissioned to do. God has declared my glory will I not give to another, Isaiah 42, 8. And yet here Jesus is asking for it. Now, you know, it's a mixed bag when you look at what his results would be. It's facing the garden. It's facing giving up his body. It's facing the court of people, the rejection of the high priest, the being beaten, and the cross. Thank God he did it for us, because I don't know how he did it except for God's grace and God's favor and God's ability in him by the Holy Ghost to be able to do what he had to do in order to glorify the Father, and that the Father's glory would be on him. It says, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. So you and I look at all this persecution and suffering, and we're saying, okay, how can this be that my God wants this for me? But I pray you will be patient with what I'm about to share. And yet here Jesus is asking for this, because he knows that he was manifest in the earth not to steal God's glory. I said, okay, I got it. But to be that vessel in the earth who would truly radiate and shine forth God's glory in the earth. We beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten Son. John 1:14. He came to reveal not himself, the Son, but to show forth the Father. I repeat, but to show forth the Father. The Son was the shining forth of the Father. And because he was faithful as a man to live and work in the earth in total dependency upon the Father. That's you, girl. Total dependency upon the Father. He triumphed where the first Adam failed. I repeat, he triumphed where the first Adam failed. Now, I added a little vision here of Jesus watching Adam and Eve reject the Father. If you have a mental picture of the tree of life, which is Christ, Satan coming in and saying to Eve, would you take a bite? So Jesus was right there. And the end result, she says to her husband, here. And he gives in. Instead of rebuking the snake, okay? Instead of saying, look, we're right in front of the tree of knowledge, and you're choosing to go with the other tree. So Jesus was there when the high treason was committed. See, and that's not something that had entered before. But you need to be aware. Jesus is the firstborn son. Adam came after him. Holy Spirit was watching the whole orchestration. He triumphed where the first Adam had failed. What was he doing? He was coming to correct the mistake and the insult. Therefore, he became as God intended Adam to become. The very glory of God in the earth. See 1 Corinthians 11:7. That one I went to. But I'm not going to touch it at the moment. When God gives his glory and we retain it, we are stealing the glory of God. Man was made to glorify God. Angels and all the celestial hosts were made to glorify God. when Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This shining one, as his name means, lost his brightness. Any clue what happened to Adam's brightness? Same thing, the lights went out and became darkness. So again, the shining one became darkness. See Isaiah 14, 13. The anointed cherub that covereth was appointed to fulfill that kind of ministry, to cover, as it were, to protect, to defend the glory of God. See Ezekiel 28, 14. The only way man or angels can protect God and his glory is to ensure that he retains none of it for himself. But in all that he does, in whatever capacity he may minister, it is to give honor and praise to God and seek to bring others to his creatures into the same spirit of worship, that they might give all honor and praise to him. Like the living creatures that surround the throne, we too are to give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, Revelations 4:9. Now the Son of God was glorified in the earth because in all that he did, the glory that the Father had bestowed upon him return to the Father in praise and exaltation. When he preached, it was God who was glorified. When he healed, it was God who was glorified. In the Son, John 11, 4 and 13, 3. And now the time has come for him to leave the world and begin a heavenly ministry. You say, wait a minute. I thought he was done all his work. He finished it in the earth, but there's a work going on in heaven. And he prays that he might be glorified in the heavenly ministry. As truly as he was when he ministered on earth, once again, the Father would be glorified in the Son on the throne as he was here in the earth. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. In all of our teachings about God's purpose in his Son, we are finding it necessary to emphasize this because some are getting the notion that we are teaching equality with Christ. Accusations of this kind are perhaps inevitable because we are teaching vital union with the Son. As he is in this world, so am I. So again, the religious folks are not going to agree with you. And Jesus himself was accused of making himself equal with God for insisting that he was one with the Father. Was he in harmony? Yes, we are too. We're in harmony with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you're going to get critics that are going to say, who do you think you are? A son of God? Yes, I am. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. In his humanity, Jesus took a place lower than deity, lower than the Father. He said, my Father is greater than I. Well, is the firstborn son greater than me? Yes. It's the same response. We are less than Christ, much weaker than Christ, totally helpless and undone apart from him. It is only as we partake of his anointing, as we grow up into him, I stress, grow up into him. As we abide in him, that we are able to partake of the same anointing and the same glory. God does not glorify apostles, prophets, or teachers and other ministries. God did not even glorify the apostles or prophets or the teachers as he walked on earth. But God glorified the Son because it is only a disciplined Son that can truly glorify the Father. Isn't that good news? As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. His priestly ministry is for the covenant people. He has power over all flesh to bring his covenant people into life. He has power and authority to subdue all his enemies under his feet. And one day he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15. We do not press too deeply into an understanding of his future kingdom and the glory of the power that will be revealed in that day. But clearly, he is reigning on his messianic throne now. If God's people know so very little about his present reign over the earth and his working in his people here and now, it is certain that God is not going to give any depth of revelation about things that pertain to the next age or concerning the ages to come. Right now, he is enthroned with power over all flesh to fulfill the new covenant in his people. He has committed himself to bring life to a people chosen of the Father and given to the Son as a gift. So I'm a gift to my Savior Jesus from Papa. They are a people who walk in total obedience to his will, even as Jesus did. Do I get an amen? We try and fail many times because we fail to realize that the obedience God requires, take a deep breath right now, is the obedience he provides. So much for self-survival techniques. He provides. I repeat this. We try and fail many times. That's what you shared earlier. Okay? Oh my God, look at what I did yesterday, last night, this morning. Okay? Listen carefully. We try and fail many times because we fail to realize that the obedience God requires is the obedience he provides to me. Total dependency on Papa. And I'll tell you, that's not easy to do. Okay? It's a choice that you make of your free will. It is by the obedience of one that we are made righteous, Romans 5:19. God wants to assure us that it is not our obedience, but his, and that whatever he may require of us, be it great or small, we can only please him by acknowledging our helplessness. That's humility. That's when you say, oh, there's no way. And that's what he's waiting to hear. And walking in obedience of Christ. This spirit of obedience is supplied. He supplies as we simply take off our shoes like Joshua of old and walk in his. You like that? Did you see how these things are connected? Did you see the coordinates? Did you see how you gave exactly the pieces that needed? And the same thing to you. Okay, she may act 30, all of a sudden she's 95. His purpose is to give eternal life, and that is what his priestly ministry is all about. And what is eternal life? Well, I could go on. Eternal life is to know and the true living God. But I want to take you to a little different corner right now and help you, hopefully, to understand why these things are happening the way that they are. See, we talked about Adam and Eve. We talked about their failure in the garden. But now I want you to see Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. He didn't create any its or gender issues. Okay? That's the bottom line. Genesis 5:1. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Clear. 1 Corinthians 11:7. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of a man. So there's a difference between the two. It doesn't mean she's lower. She's just the second in line. Somebody had to be second. James 3:9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men. We have been made in God's likeness. I have been made in God's likeness. Why? Because we were given dominion over the natural world, the natural realm. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image. Notice God is also three part. He's already declaring our. You're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. So get a clue. In our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. You see, when Adam was in the earth, we don't know how many years went by. We have no clue. But he was in the garden. And yes, he committed high treason. And he ended up being cursed. And cursing himself, really, because of his choice. And you see Jesus with the kind of mentality he had. Those mentalities were in Adam. If you want to see a little bit of what Adam was like, you look at Jesus's life, except for the betrayal. Okay? So Jesus is also called the second Adam. Why? Because there was a guy that had to come that could complete the mission that Adam failed. And the dominion. Jesus sees a storm. He's not concerned about the high waves. He speaks to the waves. And what happens to the waves? And the storm. Because let's face it, they woke him up. Okay? He wasn't concerned about the waves. He was snoozing. But they wake him up. And then he's mad at them because they didn't use the authority he'd been teaching them on. How would he be with you and me? How would he act when we panic over silly things? Okay. I had company at my house several years ago. And one of these individuals was panicking and went in my basement area because there was a storm outside. And I said, what are you doing? Oh, there's a hurricane. So? I said, hurricanes have come and gone and we're still here. What are you doing down in the basement? Oh, I'm afraid. Shut off this, shut off that, do this, do that. I said, would you cut it out? I said, there's a gorgeous storm out there that we have an opportunity to watch, and you're hiding in the cellar. What are you saying about yourself? I looked I reflected, and then I realized that I had highly insulted this individual because I would not go down in the basement. And I said, I'm not going down. I'm going on my back porch and I'm going to enjoy the storm because it's not going to knock down anything on this property. Amen. And I will not bow to hiding in the basement thinking that I'm going to give a bad example to those that are watching me. And there were little ones that were there. So watch your example. Watch your reaction. Either Holy Ghost is inside of you or he's trying to control you in the image and likeness of what Jesus did, or you're not in the image of your creator. And these scriptures are telling you who you are. There are many times that I watch people. They get insulted if I correct them because I won't bow to what they want or what they do, or I disagree with them because I'm not going to be in agreement by living my life down cellar because there's a little bit of a windstorm out there. Okay? I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I have one inside of me that's greater than that storm. I have words that can come out of my mouth and say no more. I can remember, oh, this is probably 25 years ago. Maybe more. My neighbor had some huge pine trees on his property. And they had announced that there was going to be a hurricane. And I said to Irene, I said, you know, I had this strange feeling. We need to pray. She says, okay. So we joined hands and we prayed. And I said, I believe that tree is coming down. Oh, she says, Kim. Oh, Kim, like, you know, well, sure enough, 2 hours later, we got the storm and the big, you know, puffs of wind come along and all of a sudden down comes the pine tree. Never touched my house, never even touched my land. But actually, it had been loosened up because it had rained quite a bit and there was a piece of ledge. So the root system couldn't go very deep, but yet it had grown to a major height. So I looked at this and my unbelief was still attacking me when it was on the ground. Hear me. The unbelief, okay, was still attacking me when the tree is on the ground and yet prophetically he had spoken it's going to come down. How stubborn is the soul? Yeah. So is it legal to say, soul, stop it? Why? Who has given you authority? Your spirit is the one that is in control. Okay? I watched myself today. And I saw something go by. And the Lord said, no, get out of here. I had done the homework that he told me to do. And when something happened, he said, now your work is done. Go. So I did it. But you know, even as I'm driving away, old Scratch is still scratching on the inside saying, well, you really didn't have to leave. Okay? So what am I saying? I am still learning. I'm not perfect yet. I'm dependent on Papa. Can you depend on Papa? Can you get your communication? If you need to, you know, readjust the dial a little bit, well, readjust the dial. Okay? Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes and put your right hand over your heart? Say, Holy Spirit. I know that you're right there directing traffic.
I know you're right there directing traffic.
And there's a day that you can put your hand up and say, stop. And command the soul to be at peace.
And command the soul to be at peace.
You don't have to live in a cellar.
You don't have to live in a cellar.
Live right there in the midst of the storm. And if it gets too windy, you can speak to the wind. It's up to your mouth to open. Because if your mouth doesn't open, there's no creation. It's words that will be respected. Words of authority. Coming out of my mouth.
Coming out of my mouth.
Because it's Holy Ghost inside me.
Because it's Holy Spirit inside of me.
That's the real authority.
That's the real authority.
And I am totally dependent on Papa.
Totally dependent.
Because I'm totally helpless without his spirit. But I have his spirit.
I have his spirit.
And he's alive and well in me.
And he's alive and well in me.
And he's learning to control me.
And he's learning to control me.
I don't want to be like I was yesterday, Lord.
Amen.
There's a new day in front of me. And I'm needing the instructions every day. And the grace to carry out your commission.
And the grace to carry it out.
Every step of the way.
Every step of the way.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
I lay hands on my heart.
I lay hands on my heart.
And I say, be strong.
And I say, be strong.
And be bold.
And be bold.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Yeah. You know, as I was going over, okay, let's take a peek at Isaiah 42. I didn't think we were going to go back, but I guess we are. Isaiah 42. Isaiah's hiding in the other room. Kind of neat. We got two Isaiahs, huh? It's all your fault, girl woman. Take the blame.
I will.
Verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice in the earth or on the earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. That include you. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people. That was Jesus, and now for us. And a light for the Gentiles. To open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being. That's prophetic. And I announce them to you. And I could go on. You see, when the Holy Spirit was declaring all this, it was in a dark day. It wasn't a comfortable season in Isaiah's day. It was uncomfortable. There was a lot going on, but it took courage to speak. In our day, it's the same thing. We've got people that are focused on the news, and they're focused on all the garbage. And we need to be able to say, you know, for you, that's what it is. But for me, I'm waiting for my Messiah. My Messiah is going to set everything free. If you have a problem with that, break open your Bible. My neighbor's having a slab of cement put in. And so he hired some people to prepare the ground for the cement to be poured in. And I'm watching the men out there, and I've got a little bit of cement work that would be hopefully done down the road. So I went outside and I talked to one of the gentlemen. There's an older gentleman there, and I didn't recognize him. But he actually married the oldest daughter of a couple that lived in one of my apartments for many years. And I actually did the funeral service when his wife passed away. But he was not dressed up in his fancy outfit. He was dressed up in his shabby clothes, and I didn't recognize him. Out of the normal realm, I just didn't recognize him. So I go out there and says, "You don't remember me? I'm Barbara's wife. I'm Barbara's husband." And now my brain is like, "Yeah, which Barbara?" And being honest, which Barbara? Anyway, long story short, I was cordial, but I'm trying to put two and two, and it's not coming up four. It's 3.5, 3¾, and I can't connect the dots. Finally, when Irene came home, she had to go for therapy this morning. I said, "Irene, blah, 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 which Barbara, why Barbara?" She said, "Well, the only Barbara that I know that could be this man's wife is so-and-so." And I said, "Oh my God." Then I connected. You know, I needed a little help from my friend. And so, you know, afterwards I said to the Lord, "You know, you see individuals in different places. You try to connect the dots. You don't always succeed. But Holy Spirit is available to us. He's counsel. He's comfort. And he brought comfort and counsel." So I'm looking forward to see, because he said he was going to talk to his boss and he'll give me an estimate of what hopefully can be done. But the bottom line that I'm looking at is I went out there, did not realize who the man was. He was turned in the other direction. He was facing my neighbor's house, but that's irrelevant, you know. And then I couldn't connect the dots without help. I was definitely totally dependent on the Lord. Thank God he gave me a wife that remembered the name. So I rest my case. There are times you're going to need help. And if you do, it's nothing to be ashamed of. So I believe you've got what I believe the Lord wanted to release to you, and to have you recognize that being helpless is not a weakness, because Jesus was everything but weak. But he was helpless to act on his own. And when you are relying on the same Papa that Jesus relied on, you're not going to fail. You don't see Jesus failing. When it was time to give himself up, he did. When you and I see things that are happening that we don't like, and there's plenty of that around, give it to the Lord. Submit it quickly. Don't dwell on it. You're just going to get all worked up, and your emotions are going to have a field day, and your soul is going to get upset, and you certainly don't want to lose that. So, Father, I thank you now that this word goes out, that the recognition of our helplessness is not a point of weakness. It is a point of dependency. And let us be totally dependent on you, Lord, more and more as we go forward, because the times are difficult. Mm-hmm. We give you praise. We give you all the glory as we continue to trust by choice that you and you alone are going to hold our hand. We are in covenant with you. You're going to open the eyes of the blind. You're going to free the captives from prison. And you're going to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. In Jesus' name, we pray. Any additions? If you don't mind, I'd like you to be able to let the others hear you. Otherwise, we're going to get some complaints. You got to hold it for a few seconds. Turn green.